You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Emily Gerard. She's talking to me from Seattle. Emily, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Emily, let's talk about your work. What are you working on now? I know I spoke previously with Sharon Arnold and her gallery, and you're still represented by her gallery. Is that correct?
It is correct. I actually was just in a pop-up show with some of my recent small paintings this weekend. And that's pretty much what's going on in my studio. There's a couple of different projects going, but I've been working on a series of small kind of 6 by 4 feet, very small paintings for about the last 6 months, mostly this year. And they're tiny. They're different than a lot of my other work because they have a lot more color in them, or like nameable color. They started as kind of color responses to Vuillard's work, which is pretty standard. I usually kind of start with an artist who I'm looking at and kind of go from there. So I have those going, and they're pretty, at this point, they're pretty open-ended. They're great because I can go into my studio, start a small painting, pick up a small painting that has a couple layers of paint, and just continue to work on it. So I have that going. And then the big thing that's kind of taking up my, like, mental space in my studio is these works on paper, on Okawara paper. They're kind of taking up the same imagery and themes as the small pieces, but they're on this like kind of delicate paper, and I'm kind of trying to figure out how to use the paper, what to do with the paper. There's usually like a medium, a material that I'm investigating in a piece, and the process that body of work is going to kind of take on. So that kind of link between how something is made and what it is. And so these Okawara pieces, these pieces on this Japanese mulberry paper, are the real kind of puzzle in my studio. I'm trying different types of mark, and why would I be in trying to figure out why I'm using this paper and what this paper can do, and how this paper can kind of serve the mark making and imagery that's coming out of these small paintings. So they're all kind of going back and forth between the two. It feels like the paintings are small studies for like kind of the meatier works on paper.
You're saying the paintings are the studies for some of those works on paper, is how you're seeing them?
Yes, I do. I think that what I want to do, I've kind of come to the realization with these small paintings, and although they're coming from Vuillard's paintings, his mark making, his use of color, or using the type of mark making that I had been using and applying it to his kind of decorative textures, that they were, that they are kind of studies, that they don't, they're small, they're intimate, they're like these little objects, but then I am making these large drawings that are more, they just feel like the paper feels like a better fit for them. The paper is delicate, it can't take as much beating up, and so kind of working out a lot of the things on these panels, on these pieces of wood, seems to make sense at this time. Whereas the paper is very skin-like, and I am sanding it, I am layering it, I am soaking it, but there's a point in which it kind of starts to deteriorate and fall out, so I'm using those small this series of, I guess it's up to like 60 small little paintings to kind of work out like larger pieces of paper.
That's interesting. So go on. So there's that, and is there more things you're working on? I want to talk about some of those past transitions to what you're doing now, but keep going. Is there other things that you're doing in your studio?
Yeah, I had done, like a year and a half ago, I had been doing a lot of staple pieces. So there are paintings on panel made out of staples. And I enjoyed doing them, and they worked really well for what I was trying to capture at that moment. I had been doing drawings of these tiny little lines, and actual physical staples actually represented those lines better. So I would staple in to a panel, and that would create a line and a mark. And it's silvery, so it could kind of shimmer like the graphite, which is what I was trying to get the graphite to do on paper. And yet it had more physicality than just a mark on paper. So it kind of fit all, it accomplished all these things. So I really loved working with the staples, but I felt like they had kind of run their course in my work. And recently I've kind of brought them back, not for the, you know, oddly enough, because they're staples. Before the staple was a good line, it was a good mark, it replicated the drawing mark that I was making, but a staple also can hold two things together. And I've been working on pieces of wood and stapling them together and then embedding them in paint. And so the line and the mark also holds the surface together. I haven't really worked out how all of those things are kind of coming together. And so that's kind of a really loose experiment going on in my studio. And it's nice because it's very physical. I sit there and loudly make a lot of noise with my staple gun, so it's very it's just very eventful. It is very satisfying. A staple gun is a very satisfying thing, and you get good at kind of lining it up and knowing exactly where that staple will go. And then so there's those pieces, and they're kind of small panels that I'm just kind of jigsawing into the forms that I usually kind of paint, these monolithic wall rock forms, which are the kind of basis of the imagery that I use, and then stapling them together and then burying those staples under paint so they're kind of more subtle lines. And I'm very excited about those pieces. And so it kind of...
That's exciting. It sounds like a lot's going on. So it seems like a big shift, though, too. I mean, to talk about some of the work that you were doing last year, the It All mm-hmm. Burns, which looks like, you know, fairly large-scale work, and even before then, a lot of black and white work. Isn't it a big mm-hmm. shift to be moving towards color all of a sudden? You've been doing, or correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I know of you, black and white work for quite a while. Is that right?
It is right. I love working black and white and gray. I think color is really very important to me, but in a very limited way. The last series of pieces, you know, really kind of owned the fact that they were black and smoky and pigment white, like kind of very chalky and embedded and glued into the surface. And they kind of took on the fact that the color had been stripped away from them. I usually will have pieces that have a lot of kind of nameable color in my studio, so I'll have my studio will look like a swath of grays, and then there'll be like a couple bright color paintings kind of going, kind of balancing those out in my own studio. About a year and a half ago, I was doing paintings where the paintings themselves floated from the wall. And so the canvases themselves, they're on panel, but the panel isn't cradled or has like traditional sides. It actually floats from the wall and the support structure is kind of set in. And I started painting the undersides of my paintings fluorescent colors, so that those colors would kind of glow on the wall, so they would reflect onto the wall. And so this color would creep into the painting. It would be like a bright color kind of haloing the painting, and then the painting itself might be more limited in palette or transition into that color. And that idea of the painting in the wall, that the painting extends beyond the wall and they kind of speak back and forth, and sometimes the surface dissolves and sometimes it's more pronounced, was something that I was doing in a lot of my last couple pieces or like my last couple shows. And Vuillard did feel like my interest in Vuillard and kind of wanting to pull from him directly did feel like a departure. He's so nameably color, like about color. Or when I look at him, I love his color passionately. He's been a big favorite of mine for a while, and I do tend to kind of work from an artist or pull from an artist. Usually,
talk about that process a little bit, because that's interesting. You're always pulling from an artist, or it sounds like a combination of an homage and also mm-hmm. kind of working with the way they make marks or work. Yeah, talk about that process. Usually, I guess with Vuillard, as you were saying, yeah.
Yeah, well, in the past, it's usually been the composition. You know, I have my roots in figurative painting, and I think of these, I make images that kind of look like abstract walls or abstract piles of rocks or piles of bricks. And to my eye, they really, I name them as kind of figures. They feel like these monolithic figures and forms, just not like illustrated that way, but have the kind of movement and presence, and that's what I'm kind of going for, that they have the movement and the presence and the weight and the tension of a body, of a figure. And so helping me name that they're figures, helping me kind of hold on to my content of what is happening to that figure, with the emotional content of that figure, you know, I seek both, I teach figure drawing, so I have lots of access to models and drawings, but I also look at figurative paintings. So looking at, last year I spent kind of what felt like an eternity kind of paying homage or kind of diving in or responding to Bruegel's The Blind Leading the Blind. And, you know, a painting like that is like, you know, five figures cascading and falling and eventually falling down, and there's all these kind of undertones of them falling.
So that's really clear. So that's really interesting. So you're talking about movement, the specific
yes.
painting, The Blind Leading the Blind, and then you're interpreting that in a very abstract way, of course. I mean, keep going, but shapes tumbling down. So you're I don't want to use the word riffing, but you're using that
yeah.
that painting, but you're using kind of part of the compositional strategies of that painting, which would be unidentifiable unless you talked about it, right?
Totally. And I hope that the ideas come across. I tend to work on my paintings for a long time, and I think having a starting point, you know, a nameable, this is what I'm pulling from, and even if I get very far away from it, I can get lost in the woods of mark making and building up surface and rethinking things, but I have a place to come back to. I can come back when I'm feeling, as I layer and build and scrape, I can come back to this nameable composition that has content. And so that is, I think, why I think why a lot of people, you know, love to pull compositionally from great work. My interest in Vuillard is different, and I think it felt different, and I wanted to try to say, okay, I don't really usually talk about how I pull from other compositions, but with this last Blind Leading the Blind, I did, and that naming what my source was, I usually don't name who I'm looking at and why I'm pulling from them, but with this last big painting, I did, and that kind of naming of it made me say, okay, well, if I'm going to look at other artists I'm good. Maybe I can start there, and maybe not start there as far as composition, but start there as far as color, because I really wanted to kind of push what I was doing with color. I've been using this type of mark that I create out of layers of taped acrylic. So,
out of layers of tape, you said?
Layers of taped acrylic. So I mask off
paint,
the acrylic.
Paint.
And so I use very, very thin tape, and I create these kind of tiny little lines by masking them off. And that mark I've been interested in for a while, but one of the things it does is it takes that figure, the figure and the figure ground, and kind of makes it shimmer back and forth. And that's kind of, when I look at Vuillard as a painter, that seems to be what he does, or what I love about the content in his pieces. He paints women in spaces that blend into the walls. And that feels very appropriate. Just like The Blind Leading the Blind has kind of like a political nameability of feeling like everything's crumbling down in this political climate, that idea of like women being in the background and like being in that domestic space and shifting into their walls and then coming out and shifting into their walls and coming out, that feels very relevant. And
well, that's very interesting. So talk about that a little bit, because that's a kind of a content that we wouldn't normally see, right? The blind leading, mm-hmm. leading, you know, referencing our political situation and also, you know, the idea of women and the movements that we're currently experiencing and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Those messages are so subtle, the viewer normally wouldn't know that that's in there. Is that true? Or
yeah.
That would be upon reading about it? Or...
You know, and I go back and forth about that. I think sometimes it's funny because it's very clear to me and what my intentions are. I think that it's important that I know what my intentions are. I have no control over what people see in my work. I have control over how I make the work and staying focused in even over weeks in my studio, that those are my choices and that I'm making decisions based on my content. And then hoping that that comes across when somebody stands in front of the painting. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like, sometimes I'm startled by what people feel, a piece that I feel is like awkward and tense and heavy and has a violence to it that feels kind of suppressed and then kind of reaches out in some places and people think it's just a beautiful painting. And sometimes that I find that upsetting. And sometimes it's just what it is. And I just kind of come back to if I make it, if the way I make it, not just what the image is, like that it's this big form deteriorating or this kind of heavy, awkward, clumsy figure rock, if like the mark making and the process I use, and if I come up with a way of building up the surface, and I link that to the content, that it will come across. And so that's, I guess, what those kind of, when I said at the beginning, I've been doing these like explorations in these small paintings, that's what that is. That's saying, okay, this color is coming from Vuillard, but can I create a mark? Can I build a color combination? Can I layer paint in a way that feels tense and awkward and kind of shifts and moves like a figure kind of standing in front of a wallpaper? Can form happen and then dissolve and happen and then dissolve? And I think that's why I keep coming back to wanting to use the Okawara paper. Why after kind of, and I guess I'm still doing them, these color studies or these color paintings, why the paper feels like a better fit, why I would shift to paper is based on this kind of choices that the paper can, it feels kind of skin-like and can get shows the mark in a different way, and it gets kind of embedded, and that I can build it piece by piece in a way that feels more similar to the way those Vuillard pieces are made. It has a fragility that those Vuillard paintings has. I mean, a lot of his paintings are on cardboard, and you feel like that paper coming through and that cardboard coming through, and that the paper and the figure feel like one, like the wallpaper itself kind of feels.
Well, and that paper has a little bit of a tooth to it, right? Or no, is it? It's a Japanese paper that's handmade and very smooth, or does it have kind of a surface to it?
It has a, it depends upon whether it's this, well, to get particular, it depends upon which okawara, whether it's kind of a student or a professional grade. Sometimes it has slight lathed look to it, so slight grid. I prefer the one that's slightly thicker, and on one side it has kind of a heavy kind of plate-like finish, and the other side has a little bit more texture, but it's pretty smooth, and it's amazingly strong for how delicate it is, and that's kind of one of the things that I've been trying to push is like how I can, at what point does it kind of start to deteriorate? I've worked with it before, but I haven't pushed it as far. I like to take a material and kind of really push it and figure out a way to, what can it do? What happens when it's in this situation, in this situation, in this situation? And one of the things I want to have that okawara paper do is play up with the fact that it's slightly translucent and that you can embed images on the other side and try to build the surface up in a way that you can see both. It's slight kind of translucency, the translucency of the paper and the opacity of acrylic paint, and then graphite and charcoal and ink kind of embedded in it. And sanding it, it's nice and soft, so you can sand it and create a rubbing with sandpaper.
And what will happen with these with those works? Will those, is that undetermined yet? You're just working now, or are those, do you imagine that those will come together for a show or in combination with the studies as well?
Well, I decided to not schedule a show this year. I'm, as you mentioned, I'm with Chernow's Bridge Productions, and I had a daughter. I have a 2.5-year-old, and I had originally kind of, once my daughter was born, kind of scheduled a lot of shows, kind of like in the face of, yes, I'm a mother and a new mother, it's my first child, but I'm going to like schedule shows. So the last 2.5 years, I've been kind of been a part of a large collaborative show and had 2 solo shows, and then been kind of saying yes to every group show. And I kind of decided this year to not schedule a show and to kind of work without a deadline, because I thought, I particularly felt with my last show that there were a couple things that felt like they got kind of cut off too quickly, that things were just kind of starting, and I was then all of a sudden running up against that deadline, which is, I love deadlines. I'm a deadline chaser. But I wanted to kind of work the opposite way, where I just kind of work open-endedly. I'm in a group show in August, and I was kind of figuring some of these small paintings and staple pieces that I was talking about, that other kind of side project of staple pieces might be in that show as well. So there's that kind of slight deadline in August, I guess in 3 weeks, kind of looming in my mind. But the works on paper, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with them. I'm not sure where they're going to be shown.
That's interesting. I'm glad you mentioned your daughter and everything, because, you know, I talk to so many artists that have kids, and it's a challenge, right? At first, yeah, you think I'm going to keep doing everything, but it's not so easy. But at the same time, important to try to do that if possible. Or is it? I mean,
well, I think that I was talking to someone at an opening this weekend, and For me, I think becoming a mother has been amazing. I was kind of, and you can kind of tell by the way I talk, I kind of overthink things and then go back and rework them. And I would find myself, you know, I'm a teacher as well. I teach art, as I mentioned. And I would find myself being like, okay, well, it's 3 hours before my class. I don't have enough time to really go to my studio because I need a big block of studio time. So I'll just, you know, do this other thing or grade or prep my class. And I mean, that's so wrong. I think one of the great things about being a parent is like, you know, you learn really quickly, okay, my daughter's asleep for 20 minutes. I'm either sleeping or making art or like eating, or like minutes are precious. And you start being able to accomplish a lot in small amounts of time. So, and I think that's really, really valuable. I think parent artists have a lot to kind of, to talk about how to kind of work in small chunks of time, stay focused in small chunks of time, that is very valuable to learn and to know. Because most artists have their day job, and that's just, like, what one has. You also get very good at, like, when she was born, we, you know, looked at each other, my husband and I, and we're like, okay, we can, there's things we can do and there's things we can't do, and we have to strip away all the things that we can't do. And so, you know, is it important that the house is clean? No, I'll go to studio instead. So you start to kind of like pick and choose. And right. Studio just was very high up on the list. You know, she is always high up on the list, my daughter. But, you know, shower or go to studio, you know, like you're like, I can stay dirty for one more day, that kind right. of thinking. Or, and that's kind of exhilarating to know that that's the choices that one makes, or that I
yeah.
It's given me that kind is. Of a confidence.
That is. I'm so, glad we talked about that because, yeah, I think that's such a big part of studio practice, or it can be if you're a parent. And so let mm-hmm. me ask you one more question. It's great talking about the work, and I'm so interested in the kind of details that you got into in terms of this process and looking at other artists. I want to ask you what you're reading at the moment.
So it's summer, and I'm a teacher, and so there are a lot of things that when teaching came off the table, I could put back on the table. And one of them is kind of rejoining an artist book club that I only sporadically go to. And so currently I'm trying to get back into it for July. So we're reading Drawing Us In, which came out in, I think I just looked it up, in 2000. And it's just a short, you may be familiar with it, it's kind of an anthology of like short little essays on writers and artists talking about paintings or works of art that had a big impact on them. So it's good. It's just kind of like a short story. So I'm going through that. And that's nice because, you know, of course you think about like what would you choose, that kind of thing.
Right.
So that's nice, you know. And then for kind of pleasure and just kind of evening unwind, I'm working I'm halfway through City of Thieves, David Benioff's book on Leningrad, which is kind of it's kind of a funny, dark humor book on a very cinematic kind of story that follows a character trying to find eggs in the in Leningrad when it's under siege in order to survive. It's good. It's kind of a page-turner book. So, yeah, that's what I'm working on. In a potty
Emily,
training book.
In a what?
In a potty training book, but, you know,
like
which is
that,
terrifying.
Yeah.
That's the scariest yeah. one I'm reading right now.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Emily, I want to thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been a pleasure talking and getting to know your work more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.